As I shared earlier at the beginning of the service, and I'll say that again, I asked the Lord for a specific, something special, something I have not done before, something that is appropriate and in such for our time. And I was surprised where he took me. To start with, I was surprised. And the place that he took me is the Shema. The Shema is where he took me. Okay, so we have a translation, and we've had a translation for the Shema in the King James and the NASB and in the Complete Jewish Bible and also in the TLV. And so, as I was looking at it, pondering why was I there kind of thing, then it came. It came. So the name of the message is to inculcate his word on your children. What is that about? We read during the Shema, Rebbetzin led us in saying, okay, and you shall love Adonai your God, your Elohim, with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. And then she said, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Deuteronomy 6:7. And you shall teach them diligently. Well, that's a word that I get all excited about. Having been a professor for 45 years or so, teaching is it's absolutely something that everything in my body resonates with. This is what I wanted to do at the university. This is what I got a PhD for to do. That is what I made a career for, teaching at the university. I've retired and continued teaching here. Okay, so it's not stopped. It continues even today. When we look at this familiar translation, what we're translating is the Hebrew Veshinantam Levanecha. Veshinantam, Veshinantam Levanecha. And which is translated, you shall teach them. The them there is Adonai's words. You know, you shall put your word in your heart and so on. And then it says, okay, Veshinantam Levanecha. Well, I know what Levanecha is. Le, it means to. Banim is children. Okay, and the Ha means yours. So together, Levanecha means to your children. That means that the teach them diligently part is this word Veshinantam. Veshinantam, okay? So I went and looked it up. I'd never noticed. I was expecting something different. Totally different. Because I know what the Hebrew word for the verb to teach and to learn is. I know that because that, and I'm going to actually share with you a little portion of beginning Hebrew so that you can get it too. I could read it, but it's not the same as using the word. I would have expected the Hebrew verb for teaching, which is melamed, to teach, in this passage. But the Torah, you know, this is a special scripture. The Lord did not use melamed. He used veshinantam. Oh. Now he got my interest. Now he really got my interest. So I opened up every Hebrew resource I have, including the dictionaries and the software and so on, and looked into Davka Writer. Davka Writer gives me the entire Tanakh. It's a Hebrew and English word processor that allows me to write Hebrew and English and intermingle it and so on, but it also has tools. One of the tools that it has a complete set of of Tanakh books. Okay, all of the books are there. So all I have all the Hebrew from all of the books, the Hebrew of the Torah. And then I can isolate a word, this Vishinantam word, isolate it, hit shift F7, because it was actually written for Windows. And when you do shift F7, it'll actually open up the dictionary and tell me what it means, which is awesome. So here's what it said. It translates Shinantam primarily to point, to sharpen. It has as a in a little lesser sense to whet, W-H-E-T. I apologize those of you that are expecting an English speaker. I'm a Spanglish speaker. And I have some company here, some other Puerto Ricans that are, and then some from other parts of Central America and South America, and we all speak Spanglish. We have a way to Spanglishize American words and import them into our own language. So I've been here since 1965. You'd think that there was enough time to loosen the accent. But my mom said that was La Mancha del Plátano. Okay, so the plantains, the sap, if it gets on your clothes, it never comes out. So if you get that stain in your clothes from that, it just doesn't come out. She said that's how we are. We have La Mancha del Plátano. Therefore, we're not going to get rid of this accent. We can try to hide it, etc. Now, my daughter doesn't have that. She was born in Gainesville. Here. In a hospital that doesn't exist anymore. So this is how long that was. Okay, but she says she's Puerto Rican. But she doesn't have that kind of accent. And Kim, she's was born in Miami, if I understood right. And she has one of her parents is from Colombia. That's right. And she speaks awesome English. But then when she was speaking to me, she starts speaking Spanish. And I'm like, so I kind of like did a double take here. Kim's trail. So with this trail part, is there another part there that I mean? Yes. So anyway, so there are cases of people that are able to, they never got the mancha. They never got the stain. But I was born in Puerto Rico. I got it. And I don't get rid of it. And my children say that I don't have an accent. But my son-in-law goes, ah. And then he points out some of the things that he hears me say. And I go, he's right. And so we have a good laugh about how can butcher the English language. So it's very hard for me to say chips. Like plantain chips, potato chips. I tend to say cheeps. But you'll know in a minute that actually is a Hebrew term. Very nice. Any case, so to whet, is that correct? Whet, is that? Some Americans say it. Okay, there you go, that whet. So it's not like whet with W-E-T, W-H-E-T, which means to stimulate. And then it uses this word to inculcate and to memorize. Inculcate. When I looked at that word immediately in Spanish, it's a common word. Inculcar is a common word in Spanish, okay? But it's not a very common word in English in the United States. Inculcate is not used very often, and many people don't even know what it means. So I continued looking, and it said, it can mean was sharpened. So in the past tense, the dictionary added, was sharpened, was inculcated. There it is, repeated again. Or was taught. Now the taught part I got. Teach them diligent to you, right? So this inculcate. So I would, all right, that's the beauty of the network and the computer. And you can, even in your phone, you can start chasing around the rabbit. My children say I chase the ever-ready bunny. He never gives up. So the idea behind to point, which is the first thing, which is also to blade, which I didn't know that blade was a verb, or to sharpen, is captured in the word hone in the United States. But inculcate, what does that actually mean? I know what it means in Spanish, so I wanted to make sure that it was the same meaning in English. So again, going to the Merriam-Webster dictionary, and especially the one from the 1900s is even better. To inculcate is to teach. Okay, got it. But it says it's not just to teach. It's to teach and impress by frequent repetitions or admonitions. Its synonyms, it had a bunch of synonyms. Inculcate, synonyms here. Hear these synonyms. Endo. Indo. I didn't know that it could be spelled with an I. Can't mean the same thing. So let's keep going. Imbue. See, here's where the problem is for the Spanglish. I don't know how to pronounce these things. Infuse. I got that one. Ingrain. Engrain. Whoa. Inoculate. Ooh. Invest. Suffuse. Well, you think Adonai's trying to say something here? I mean, he takes all of this to try to say what he said. Veshinantam. That makes sense. It's an infinite God speaking in an infinite language. The language of God. And we, mere humans, finite humans, are trying to understand, and we choose English because that's where we are. Not a great choice, by the way, with all due respect to all you Americans and Canadians. You guys don't know how to say love. You don't know how to express love. You just say love. Duh. On the other hand, you get Rios to begin to say words of love to his bride, and he's going to be talking to why. You say, wait a minute, it's just L-O-V-E. Can you just say that? Oh, no, no, no. See, we Hispanics, we got all these words for love, and it just becomes embellished. And you have, like, extra flavors on the... I was going to say the chocolate, but... Marilyn, please don't get sick. Extra flavors on the chocolate. So more specifically, I continued reading in the dictionaries, to inculcate is to implant. Get what this is, what the Lord wants us to do with his word to our children. To instill and to inseminate the mind of the hearer. This is all from dictionary, real good ones online. To implant implies teaching that makes for permanence of what is taught. Oh boy. To inculcate, therefore, implies persistent or repeated efforts to impress on the mind. Okay? Still, instill stresses gradual, gentle imparting of knowledge over a long period of time. And inseminate applies to sowing of ideas in many minds so they can spread to a community, a city, a class, or a nation. Wait a minute. The Torah is not just saying, teach diligently. because we Americans hear that. And we have an idea what that means. We had no idea what else was there. We had no idea what else this was talking about. So let me try to summarize it. When he said, teach them diligently to your children, means to intentionally and continually and with a purpose to inculcate. So now you have to go find the word and start using it to the delight of the Hispanics. Because we know, I mean, we have that word. That word's used in translations of Deuteronomy 6:7 in Spanish Bibles. It doesn't say enseñar. It says inculcar. And so we get a bigger picture here from what the Lord's trying to say. We're supposed to take his word and do all that paragraph that I just showed you to our children or our audience. That's awesome. He had me. So he had me, okay. So I said, all right, Lord. Well, what about this word, this other stuff that I knew, that I didn't think I know, but I don't know. And so let me do some Torah teaching today. See, the Torah also defines teaching for us, and it's not what we do at the university. Or with all due respect, what Stephanie does in the school. Or it's not that. What is it? So I needed to be able to show you. In Hebrew, the majority of the Hebrew language is a language that is given with root consonants. There are 22 consonants in the Hebrew language. Two of them do double duty. The vav can be an o or a u, depending on context. And the yud can also be the letter I. Okay? When I say the letter I, then I'm not talking about I. I'm talking about E. I-A-E. Okay? That sound. What about the ah? And what about the other one? Eh. Well, it's actually implied in some of the words and the letters. Nowadays, we have notation that puts it for us. So let me start by showing you that. And I'm going to do like a hybrid here, since I'm a hybrid person anyway. So there are three. I'm going to do a left to right, and I'm going to write English and not Hebrew. Is that okay? Okay. So there are three roots and two dots in between, right? So the majority of Hebrew verbs appear in what's called a binyan. In the simplest binyan is verbs that are active and that are common and that are easy to work with. Let me give you some of those verbs. So some of the roots that you're taught in the first day of Hebrew class at the university. One of them is L-M-D. So how do you pronounce that? L-M-D. Okay, so you need some vowels to pronounce it, right? So by convention, we'll add the letter A, A, and A. By convention. So now we can say what the root is. Lamad. Lamad means to learn. Lamad means to learn. Okay, let's find some other fun ones. Okay? The ones that you, if you were a student, things that you would want to know about. So here's, for example, to write. You have to write in college, right? So in college, to write, you would use kotev. See, I knew I was going to do that. K-T-B. It can be a B also, okay? So, katav means to write. Okay, so we can pronounce it, K-T-V, katav. Now, did you know, you didn't, so you, now you know, that putting the two A's right there makes the verb perfect past tense. Perfect, simple, past tense. Why say perfect? Because in Hebrew, the past tense is a completed action. It has nothing left hanging. Okay? So it's actually, it doesn't work like thinking of past, present, and future. It works more if you adopt the idea of something being complete and something being in the process of, or something that's going to be completed later. Oh, then you start getting into the mind of God, right? Because that's his language. So let's have another one. How do you say eat? Okay, it's all the CH sound here and an L. Okay? Except that when this CH sound, which is this letter, Kaf, or the letter Aleph, or the letter Ayin, are called guttural. When they show up, it's like throwing a Puerto Rican in the middle of the driving. It causes movement, and vowels change, and sounds change a little bit. So I like to think that's the Puerto Rican version of that. Let me give you some others. Work. Work is obed. And it stands with an ayin, which we don't have. An ayin, a b, and a d. So abad. Now it turns out that if we use two letters, the in-between letters, if we use for the first letter the letter O, and we use for the second letter the letter, the sound, a short E. I'm speaking American. Because I would say that eh. 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 Okay? It's almost Canadian. Okay, it's a Canadian sound. If you don't know what I'm talking about, talk to Stephanie. Okay? So it's that. So, when I write Lomed, instead of Lamad, when I write Lomed, it becomes a present tense. So Lomed means learn. Present tense. Kotev means to write. Present tense. Ohel, okay, there's an O. This is a letter that takes this is an aleph. So the O sound actually comes from here. The aleph just goes, we'll change it a little bit. Ohel and Obed. These are all pa'al verbs, okay? But verbs can appear in six other different forms. It's getting complicated now in a hurry, right? So let me show you one that's in the Bible. At the beginning of the Torah, it says the following, which you know, I don't have to show it for you. Bereshit bara. What does that mean? Okay, that's a nice root. Okay, so let me write that root for us. It's a simple root. Where did I put it? It's a B sound, an R sound. Okay, And then it has an aleph here. So we put a O, and we put E, bore. Have you heard that? Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, bore peri hagafen. Ah, what does that mean? This is the word for create. If I put an A instead, and another A there, I already told you that makes the past tense, the beginning of the Bible. Bereshit, in the beginning, bara. What does that mean? Created. Who created? Gotta tell you, it doesn't come before. Comes after. Elohim. Bereshit bara Elohim. Bereshit means in the beginning. Bara means created. Past tense. Who? Elohim did the creation. And then the next thing is et hashamayim ve'et haaretz. The specific heavens and the specific earth. That's the first verse in the Bible. That's the first thing that's recorded for us. You get that now? So, I'm looking for that verb up there, lomed. In whatever form I can find it, I'm looking for it because that's what teaching is. Guess where it's first found? In Deuteronomy. Ah, where? Deuteronomy chapter 4 and Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1, it says, Moses called to all Israel and said to them, Hear, O Israel. Can you translate that to Hebrew? Shema Israel. Okay, got it. The statutes and the ordinances that I am speaking in your hearing today. Learn them. Guess what the verb there is? Lamad. Got it. Okay, that means we are supposed to learn them and keep them. Another special verb. Got to write another one. One more. Shomer, which is with an SH, MM, and an R. So if we put an O there and an E there, or an A and an A, right, for the past tense, so that you can keep them. Guess what the word is in Hebrew? Shamar. Because he's speaking, no, the words have already been given, so he can't speak. This is not an unfinished business. I already gave you the word. It's past tense. It's perfect. So, look, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 5:1, Moses called to all Israel and said to them, okay, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinances that I'm speaking in your hearing today, lamad them, learn them, so that you can keep them, shamar them. And shamar is guard duty, by the way, also, to guard, to keep is to guard, to make sure you do them. And to do them is asa. Did I write that in there? No, I didn't write asa. So let's write asa. Okay, to do. Where did you go? It's an I in here, an S, and an H. So if we put an O there and an E there, ose. If you put an A there and an A there, it becomes, the ayin takes the sound of the vowel. So here the ayin takes o, ose. Here the ayin takes a, asa. Guess what is the word? Asa. Wait a minute. I'm learning some Hebrew here. Huh? You get excited? I got excited when I saw this the first time and I ran into Hebrew. Super excited. So it's clear. Moses is saying, here's the commandments, here's the words, and what you're supposed to do with them is lomed, shomer, and asa, oseh. Okay? Learn, guard, and do. Yeah? Got it. But let me go back a chapter. In Deuteronomy, I'm probably going to go longer because this, if I just read you this stuff, it's not going to make any sense. But if I draw pictures and things here, it'll make lots of sense. And you're going to leave today thinking, I can learn some Hebrew here. Okay? So, Deuteronomy 5:4-1. This is the previous chapter. Now, O Israel, listen. Guess what word is there, right? You know. I don't have to tell you. Shema. Okay, got it, got it. You can actually see it in the Torah. Shema, the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching. What's the word there? The word there is melamed. Melamed. Hang on, put it in your back pocket. Just a second. Let me finish the scripture. That I'm teaching to you, melamed to you, so that you may live and go in and possess the land that Adonai, the God of your fathers, has given you. But when I said melamed, guess what happens? This is where this stuff is really good. I'm going to focus on this one right here. So let's just keep that one. Lomed. And I went and looked at that, and here's what it looks like. It's a prefix. It's called a mem in Hebrew. A mem. We put a prefix in front. And now, so it becomes me, L, M, D. This is now an E sound. This is now an A sound. And this is now an E sound. Melamed. What's the root? Lamed. I'm not confused. Lord, you know, what are you saying? I thought Lamed was to learn, to study, to learn. And now you're saying this is translated by these people that know what they're doing, translated teaching. How is that? Ah, the next little bit. This is it. I'm really done. From the pa'al tense, the next simpler tense is called PL in Hebrew, okay? You get the PL by adding a mem in front. That's it? That's it. Okay. And what does it do? Adding the mem in front makes it causative. Causative. Ooh. Here's what the Lord is saying through Moses. You are to cause who? Your audience, the children of Israel, cause the children of Israel to learn. And that's defined as teaching. In the mind of God, you have not taught unless the audience, your children, learned. The emphasis is not on the children. The emphasis of this is on the teacher, on the parent. Okay? What the Lord is saying, when it comes to my stuff, you just don't get up there and go, blah, 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 blah. blah, 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 blah. And say in any way that you have conveyed, that you have taught my word. That's not how it works. He goes, that's just noise. That's just noise. If what you do in with these words is to inculcate, which requires inoculation, it requires insemination, it requires all those words that were there. If you do that to the audience so that it causes them to learn God's word, then you have taught. This becomes the first law of teaching. It's not unique. Bruce Wilkinson came up with these laws in the 80s. When I learned those laws, it transformed my teaching. Just that one. It was a tape. And it was kind of, you know, how tapes get when they're old. It was old in 81. Just think for a moment. We got it from somebody who got it from somebody who copied it from somebody. It was something like that. And it was like 30 minutes, and he started talking like this. And I'm going, so I had to play it. I played it 10 times in a row. I could tell you exactly what he said. It transformed. I was a new minister. I became ordained in 1981. And now I had God's definition of what it was to teach his word. It wasn't preaching. It wasn't speaking. It was cause. Now, how do you cause people to learn? And you come up with all kinds of ways. Not going to talk about that. One way is style. So you can use various styles. At the university, is that not correct, Raymond? You would sit under my. It's not correct that I would just be going along and all of a sudden I throw something and start yelling. And then I start walking up and walk to somebody with a laptop open and said, close that pornographic thing. And that student looked at me, professor, I'm not looking at pornography. It's okay, I got their attention. I got his attention, I got their attention. You see, if they're not paying attention, how can I cause them to do anything? Otherwise, it's just going to go to sleep. Especially at 8:30 in the morning, which is when they assigned to me some of these classes. And there's no real person that's at the university that's up at 6 in the morning. Or say, unless you're military. Otherwise, it's like first class of the day, 10 a.m. early. Okay, so they'd stick me there at 8 o'clock. I had to go and set up this. There's nobody around. Actually, I can get a place to park. And I can go to the classrooms that are sometimes locked, and I have to call the police to come open the. Are you kidding me? And then the computers are not on, so I have to turn them on, wait till they warm up, and make sure that the thing works. And if it doesn't work, it's now 20 after, and it starts at 8:30, and I call this hotline number. That case to somebody, and I'm saying, I'm in building so-and-so, room so-and-so, and if you don't get here, my entire class is a washout because I cannot project anything. You know, I can do this all day long, and I can try to even show them my best side. That's what I saw in college. They were writing on the board all the time. That's all you ever saw. I never did that. Did you notice that I didn't turn my back on you? I used transparencies as boards, and I never lost sight of anybody. To this day, I sort of know what you're doing. It's dangerous. Just ask Raymond. You can ask people who have had me in class that you might think, oh, I'm going to get away with it. I just saw it. And then I'm talking about the capacitor and say, so, burned out that capacitor last night, didn't you, Raymond? And they go like, you know my name? I knew all the names before the first day of class. And all I had to do was associate the names with the people. And because they're engineers, they're boring. Engineers are boring. In other words, once an engineer picked a place, they never change. Is that not correct, engineers? You all must be engineers. Because Pat's always there, and she's always there, and she's always there. You've been moving around. Okay, so you're a little strange. Miss Apple and Chloe, they're always there. And Joe and Stephanie, now they're up here. But for a while, they were over there. And you move too. You hang around here a lot, but then you move over there. Okay? And you are trying me out because it was here. I knew it was here. That's where you found Joyce. And now she's over there. Now, Stephanie Baldwin's been back there since the beginning of time. Okay? And Carly's been either that row or the row behind it. Not one, and not further this way, not further that way, not further that way, near there. That's what she says. And Elizabeth and Cliff are in the same seat except for one row that they were in the first day they came. And these two love birds here, they've been moving around. You were over there. What are you doing here? I'm going, don't you like your mom? Okay, I'm messing around. I'm just messing with you, okay? Where's the Jackie? I know where Jackie is. You realize that? Oh, hi, Michelle. You've been doing this too. On First Street, I knew where you were. Every time, go center right in the back. When you used to come with your husband, you were center left. And he was on the edge. You're messing with the guy. I got you videoed. Here's the funny thing. I'm not paying attention to that video because I can't. I don't have time. When I go to sleep at night, I see the video. I'm not speaking now. I'm in the bed. And now I begin to see who was here, who wasn't. Who was paying attention and who wasn't. Who was asleep and who wasn't. Oh, yeah. You think I'm kidding. I've not been doing this teaching for 5 days. It's more like 45 years. This is my life. This is my life. There's nothing that I want to do better than teach. Nothing. I want to end the message by telling you that since 1981, that's the responsibility that I have, being your rabbi. That is the response. I take it very seriously. There's something else I do before every class. Just to end in a kind of a happy note. I say to myself, Sam's words. Sam's not here. Oh, he is? Oh, he's out there. Okay. Sam, I say what you say. What Sam says is today is going to be the best day ever. So before I get to those doors, I say to myself, today is going to be the best class ever. Today is going to be the best sermon ever. Today is going to be, that is my expectation. I set the expectation there. And then we meet it. If I set the expectation the way the world sets their expectation, which is, okay, oh, it's cold outside. And this is going to be, and then everything starts. And you can count the number of people here. 1, 2, 3. And I let that speak to me. It's like, oh, they're so excited to come hear your class that everybody's asleep. Well, I remember this is a university town, so they're practicing what the university teaches. They just show up late. It's the problem with Hispanics and Jews. And a Hispanic Jew has a double problem. I'm being serious here. I expect not my best. That's given. I expect you will learn. And that at the conclusion, you leave and say, that was a great sermon, or whatever you want to call it. That was a great talk. That was a great this. That was a great that. If someone at the end says to me, and people do, they're very gracious. Look, I'm not saying that so that now everybody's going to start telling me, okay? So, okay, maybe I shouldn't say. But every once in a while, every once in a blue moon, there's somebody out of the blue that comes out of the shadows. And they come at you. And you go like, oh, no, what did I do? And they get their finger and go, that was good. Put their finger back and go, my desire with all my heart is that you will put that in your heart.